From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. This is a Red Friday edition. My name is Chris Clark. Thank you for listening. I have along with me Ryan Tracy. Ryan, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm hanging in. Lot going on this week. The Chiefs have been making some moves that we're going to talk about, and I'm feeling a little bit apprehensive. I don't know about you.
Well, I think there's a lot to be apprehensive about. The fact that they can only dress three safeties at practice is concerning.
Right, right. Folks, make sure you're checking out all Chris is doing over at Chiefs Digest and Locked On Chiefs, and check out my stuff at RGR Football, as well as Seth, who's not with us today. His work is on The Athletic, and what Chris is talking about is we found out Wednesday, and it looks like it's continuing, that Marcus Kemp is practicing as a safety because they signed Josh Shaw, but Eric Murray has not returned to practice at this point and looking kind of iffy to me.
Yeah, and Eric Murray might not play, and Marcus Kemp played safety in high school, so they're at least getting him some reps as an emergency safety. So we will see how that turns out.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a long way to go from high school, but you know, at least you can understand the concepts. And I think Kemp's proven to be a guy that does what he's asked. He's an effort guy. I think he's somebody that studies what he's supposed to do. Dave Tobe relies on him on special teams quite a bit. So if you're going to have anybody do it, why not?
Yeah, hard to argue with that. I think that there's a lot of leeway that you could go there with Marcus Kemp. I like him as a player, so I like them taking a chance and getting him some more playing time. You know, obviously it's out of position and you don't want to see him playing there, but it could save them a roster spot, so we'll see on that.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. I mean, seen a lot of questions this week about Shaw in particular, and you know, new to the system, Bob's system is not as terrible to learn point blank as, say, if you're on the offensive side of the ball, but it's still not cake. You know, they have a lot of split responsibilities, especially at that safety position, a lot of shifting going on, and you have to know where everybody else is going to be. And we've seen that there are breakdowns in that particular position on this defense. So expecting Shaw to walk in and play a meaningful role, what are we right now? We're sitting at what, 8-9 days after he was signed? I think that might still be a stretch at this point.
Well, especially considering you're looking at a guy like Kemp having to maybe play in there as well. I mean, obviously you're going to have to simplify it if he ends up getting into the game, but that is not something that you really want happening. But at the same time, you know, Kansas City has, it's a battle that they're going to have, because right now you don't know if Justin Houston is going to play. Obviously, it doesn't look like he will. And Tano Pastaneo might be out as well, so that's a big question mark.
Yeah, and you know, and from the timing that we record these shows, folks, because we release at night, we haven't talked much about what they've done. Obviously, Frank Zombo is a guy that knows this defense, and I've seen a lot of ire about them re-signing him, but I told you the night before it happened, it's just too easy, because he can waltz in here and understand what his responsibilities are. Is he going to be able to execute in any way, shape, or form like Justin Houston? No. But he can get the base of the defense down so you don't have an empty position there, basically.
Well, but be fair about it. There's nobody that's going to step in and be like Justin Houston either. So, you know, to me, I think it's a good move on their part. Bring somebody in that knows the system. And, you know, if he has to play, he has to play. You know, you still have Speaks and hopefully Pastaneo that are available to play. And, you know, we'll see if that ends up being the case, and hopefully it is. And we won't have to worry about Zombo playing too much.
Well, and I will say this, if you saw the RGR Football film room this week, I took a look at Speaks and the fact that, against the Jags, he did get so many snaps, 56 for that game, which is a career high for him. And to be relied upon at that point, you saw progression out of him just within that one game. He needs to improve his stamina. He was definitely calling for some rest at times in that game. So I think he's going to get that first chance to go and really be a guy that I think can benefit from that play time.
Absolutely. And it's one of the reasons that I think they drafted him this year is because they looked at it and said, okay, well, maybe we're 2 years out or maybe we're just 1 year out. I mean, Dee Ford is going to be a free agent after this season. Who knows what they're going to do with Justin Houston? So to me, I think it makes sense. This is kind of how John Dorsey did drafts. So it doesn't really bother me that Kansas City kind of looked at it a year ahead of the time saying, hey, we need more pass rush. So, you know, hopefully that's going to pan out and I think he'll be okay. I do agree. I think he looked gassed, but at the same time, it is a completely different position from what he played in college. And he is still a lot heavier than you would like to see an outside linebacker be.
Yeah, I personally agree with that. I've seen some people say that, oh, he should gain weight and go play Alan Bailey's role. Sorry, I don't see him playing Alan Bailey's role. Alan Bailey pushes the pocket. He is a power D tackle and Speaks is not going to be that at this level. You could say that he did it at college, and maybe you'd be correct in a couple of plays, but he cannot do that at this level. So I am very apprehensive about that. I'd like to see him drop some weight too. And we got to remember that there's an outside scenario if there are any major injuries or anything where you're looking at the 2019 linebackers, not including Dee Ford or Justin Houston, and you're looking right now at Tano Passanio and Breland Speaks.
It's definitely a possibility. I don't know how great a possibility it is, but it's definitely a possibility. And that has to be concerning for some people. But at the same time, I think that the Chiefs were playing ahead. There, you know, obviously, if they move on from Justin Houston, there's going to be other people that they go out and get.
So. There is. There are going to be a few, but I have to say I'm hopeful that that's not the way that goes down. I think Justin's health is probably the most important factor in that. But
I agree.
I would expect an opportunity to restructure. We know they were trying to make some moves in that direction when they were still in the negotiation table about Earl Thomas. So I would expect that would have included either Eric Berry or Justin Houston or both. But maybe we'll see that in the future. But should we talk about options down the line, not to forget Nate Orchard, who was signed as well too. Big hit on Hard Knocks this season. If you watched that, but I think he's a guy coming out of college that I thought had some developmental possibilities, and we'll see if he can get there with this team.
Yeah, it's an interesting signing. We'll see what he's able to do and what he's able to add. You know, the one thing I will say is, you know, if they're going to make a move, I think they're going to have to make a move and restructure somebody. Who they're going to restructure, who knows? If it's Justin Houston, that's good for him for next year. If it's Eric Berry, okay, I'm all right with that as well. But they're going to have to free up some salary cap space. There are a lot of names out there that people are starting to throw about, and you have to ask the question whether or not it's a realistic possibility. Landon Collins is just one of them. Seth and I talked about that. DM Buchanan's another one. Hassan Reddick's another one. Patrick Peterson technically is another one that Therese brought up.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, but there's no way you can afford him. I mean,
well, with restructures,
yes, there's always a way. Yeah, that's true. There's always a way. I get you there. And right now, with the departure of Marcus Peters, you know, obviously that position group is not very expensive at this point. So, yep. What I like to see it, sure, a veteran corner like that, I'd be all for it if they can make the money work. But I think the bigger liability is still at pass rusher and safety right now.
And I don't disagree with that, but what I will say is that I think Therese made a great point that if you go and make that kind of move, that moves Kendall Fuller down to your second corner, and that makes Steven Nelson your third corner. You can put Patrick Peterson on an island, and you can kind of move your defense around to adjust.
It's true. I can completely see that. And, you know, there's even another option as everyone moves down a rung in that scenario. You can look at Skander playing safety as well. Yep. That may even suit his career talent at this point in his career better. And certainly I think we've seen what we thought we'd see when we signed to him, that his veteran presence and his experience is paying off. And I think that would continue in that personal scenario.
Yeah, and there's another name that hasn't been thrown out, at least by us right now, Clinton Dix. It's another question mark. He doesn't expect that he's going to be in Green Bay next year. If Green Bay doesn't think he's going to be there, maybe that's a possibility, although I have a hard time believing the Packers think their season's going to be anywhere near over. So yeah, hard to see them wanting to move on. Tyrann Mathieu, kind of the same thing with Houston. But, you know, Arizona and the Giants, I could really see moving on from players right now.
I don't know. I think Landon Collins is not a possibility. I don't see why they even would. He's a building block as far as I'm concerned. But I like the Peterson idea. I liked Reddick coming out. I don't know that he's that much better than Terrence Smith, but I wouldn't mind seeing it for a really cheap draft pick. But I'm not giving anything for Deion Buchanan, you know, other than a fourth or fifth, just like Reddick.
And that's fine. And I understand what you're saying about Landon Collins, and I agree with you. I think he's a building block, but he was drafted by another regime. And the question is are they going to be willing to pay him? If they're not, I could see him moving him.
Yeah.
So, well, pipe dreams, in my opinion, but, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about. Let's go ahead and get on to talking about the game. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right. So to me, when you look at this game, one of the things that sticks out the most is Andy Reid versus Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I agree. And this is, you know, it's been an ongoing battle with a couple. I mean, the Patriots have that playoff win, but Andy Reid's had his number in the regular season.
Yep. Yeah, and I actually was on with some people in the Rhode Island area, I believe, on the radio on Tuesday night, and I brought up that Andy Reid, and I guess I kind of said it, that Andy Reid is owned Belichick, and he goes, well, wait a second. Did you just really say that? And I was like, yeah, I really did. Look at what's happened in the regular season. He goes, yeah, but the playoffs. And I'm like, okay, you can have the playoff game. You add up all the points. Andy Reid's outscored him by almost double, I think.
I mean,
it's close.
Right. And honestly, it's a good matchup between the coaches. I mean, Bill Belichick's still one of the best defensive minds in the NFL today.
No, he is. Absolutely.
I think Andy Reid's got a better stable of players to do with which he wants. And I think that's really the difference here.
Yep. I agree with you. You look at this game and it's really hard for me to say that it's going to be anything but a shootout. You know, the two times Kansas City's played them in the regular season since Andy Reid got here, they put up over 40 points. And that was with Alex Smith at QB.
Right.
So
how does that bode for the young gunslinger? And, folks, we'll talk about him after the next break. But I look at that and I agree with you. That fact, and, I mean, no offense, Eric Rowe's been out for them. Even some of their – you know, stalwart guys, even Gilmore, who's probably their number one corner. And we talked to Mark early in the week, and I think he confirmed that. He's given up 3 touchdowns. You know, he's given up an NFL passer rating of over 80, you know. So nobody's really doing anything that's making you think this team, this secondary in particular of all pieces, is something that they should be scared of. It's just what Belichick can try to do with them.
Right, and that's the big thing with Belichick is, and I'm not trying to downplay and say he's not a good coach. I think he is a great coach. But Andy Reid has figured out something to beat him each time that they play in the regular season, and I still think that they would have beat them in the playoffs if Alex Smith took the shots that Alex Smith was taking last year in week one.
I think you're right. That's totally justifiable, and I will even go a step farther. I am thinking – you know, honestly, when you look at the flip side, what the Chiefs offensive line just did against the Jaguars, I mean, Mitch Schwartz in particular, pressure in 2 games against the Broncos and the Jaguars. And now you're looking at, right. Yeah. I mean, him too, but I'm talking about edge rushers, you know, and I'm looking at this roster in New England and I'm wondering how they're going to try to generate pressure because I don't see it happening.
Well, and even if they do get pressure, I don't know that it really phases Mahomes. I think he's been worse against pressure than he is when he's not getting pressure. But at the same time, I'm not going to be shocked if they don't come out. I'm not going to be shocked if they come out and go 5 wide and spread out this New England defense.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best concept for it. I'm hoping personally to see some of the little wrinkles that we've seen earlier in the season when they were in that kind of widespread, empty backfield kind of look. And I think that's something they can make some use of because when I look at, you know, pressure generated, by the New England defense, you know, Agent Claiborne's leading them with like 16 pressures and zero sacks. So I'm not seeing a whole lot that's really going to cause fits for this kid that can run away from Von Miller.
Right. Well, on the other side of that to me is whether or not they get pressure on Mahomes. You know, I think looking at this matchup, again, going back to what Reed has done to Belichick in the past, honestly, I think Andy Reed has something planned for him that he hasn't shown yet. Because if you look at the way the offense has played, the offense has really only played for behind in one game, and that was the Denver game. Reed hasn't had to show his full hand yet.
Right.
And I would
– well, and I'm
just guaranteeing there's something else there that he hasn't shown yet.
Well, and I personally want to see him use more of that package that we saw the first play of the game against the Jaguars, where they motioned out of it, faked the screen, and just kind of – I mean, literally, it looked like a no-look basketball pass. It was gross. It got called back, but Tyreek Hill got like 40 yards on that play.
Yep.
And I think there's – it's another scenario that you can build from. It looks like they ran it out of split backs last week. I think they can run that out of just straight motion as well. So that stresses – being able to stress any defense both horizontally and vertically at the same time just opens up for your athletes to be able to be the athletes they are. And I think that's what they intend to do.
No, I agree with you. And you look at what they could do on this offensive front. To me, I just have to look at it and say, okay, wait a second. What have they done offensively this year that's worked for them? Well, there's been so many things that they've done that's worked for them. I just think that they're going to continue to evolve what the offense can do. And honestly, it's not going to surprise me if they come out and they have Anthony Sherman on the field and they still go five wide.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen what he can do. And I'm well past saying, hey, he's a fullback. We need to run the ball. Although I will say this, I like what the Detroit Lions are doing, and I think this team can do that as well. At least they could while LDT was on the line.
Well, and I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not going to be surprised if they come out and go five wide with Sherman, mainly because I'm not set that starting five wide is going to continue to stay at five wide. I mean, you can start five wide and bring Sherman into block. There's so many different aspects of what they can do with this offense and with what they can do with the different chess pieces they have. So when you look at what Andy Reid is going to be going up against Bill Belichick, without a great defense, I don't know how Belichick is going to stop this team. So yeah, I think it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I'm the one question mark I have is what are they going to do with Kareem Hunt? I think this is a game that he probably has his mind set on just because of his debut as a rookie. And, you know, one guy that scares me on that defense is Dante Hightower. I still think he's a prime player. He's good against the run. Maybe not, you know, as good as he was two seasons ago. But like you said, when they start out five wide, if two of those guys are Sherman and Kelsey, and you have Kareem out there, I mean, you could shift into an ace formation double tight and run down their throats, which personally would make me happy. But if you're listening, Andy.
Right. Lots of questions as to what they're going to do with the running game. I do think that the running game is valuable. But to me, what Kansas City has done so well this season, and I think it was Seth that I saw tweeted this, that Kansas City is so far outscoring their opponents 59-9 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
If that continues, they're going to be coming out in a fast-paced offense and they're going to try to ram the ball down your throat or try to score quickly, I guess is the better way to put that. Not ram the ball down your throat, because I don't think they're going to be running it in the first quarter. I just don't see them coming out and being a run-heavy team in the first quarter, because I think that they like to get ahead and give their defense a chance. And I saw this stat too. On average, the Chiefs' defense has been protecting at least a 11-point lead, I think, this season on an average snap, a two-score lead.
That's pretty impressive at that point. Yeah. I mean, and quite honestly, this is a team that – the Patriots are known for coming back. They're known for getting down.
Yep.
So I think you're right that they want to, like Patrick said, I think week two, somebody caught him on the sidelines. wired up or something, that you got to keep your foot on the gas. They have to score as many points in this first half as they possibly can, because I think Brady's going to figure some things out, although we'll talk about him coming up after this break. Folks, we'll be right back. Make sure you check out the rest of the Locked On lineup, including Matt Williamson, most importantly, but all the college shows are up and running now. So have a look at those, and we'll be right back. Now, obviously, we hinted at it, but the primetime matchup, and it's rare for us to do this, folks, because we like to keep it true X's and O's when we talk about teams. But we're going to depart for that for a little bit, because this really can boil down to just the quarterbacks. And Tom Brady, arguably the GOAT, although you'll never hear me agree with that, versus the young gun in Patrick Mahomes. And, I mean, where to start with this matchup?
First and foremost, I think this may be obvious to a lot of people, but to me, I'm not going to call Patrick Mahomes the next Tom Brady. I'm not going to try to go there. But what I will say is this matchup, to me, is so much bigger than any matchup that Alex Smith ever had with Tom Brady. Because to me, Alex Smith never could beat Tom Brady. I think Patrick Mahomes has the ability to. Now, maybe not right now, maybe not this week. But I think one-on-one, if you look at the two QBs, I think that Mahomes is going to come out ahead, at least in the style and the different things he's able to do.
Well, I'll tell you one area that I know he's going to come out ahead, and that's because I have the stats to prove what he's done through five games. And folks, thanks to our friends over at Pro Football Focus, and you should definitely check them out. I use them all the time. But you would be shocked to hear one of these quarterbacks has 134 passer rating on deep passes. That's 20-plus yard pass plays. And one of them has a 69 rating. Do you know which is which?
I'm sure Mahomes is the one that has a better deep ball rating right now.
By nearly twice. It's ridiculous. And not only is he not throwing deep well, but Brady's got two interceptions on passes over 20 yards. So putting them in a position to be down is what this Chiefs has to do.
And I would even argue that that pass that he had to Josh Gordon last week in the end zone, he floated that ball so high, so much higher than I would expect it to go for as long as it was.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't an interception, but it was interceptable.
Yeah, and Gordon made a great play on, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Josh Gordon. He made a great play on the ball. But, you know, you throw things like that, they're going to get picked. And if he can't go downfield, that really is going to limit what they're able to do. Now, obviously, the question mark for Kansas City's defense is how are they going to stop Gronkowski?
Yeah, I mean, and that comes back to what we've been talking about this week, folks, with the injuries, because this is troublesome. I mean, when you're talking about Marcus Kemp running as a safety possibly in this game, I mean, that tells you just how bad it is. And maybe they're taking it easy with Murray, and he'll be able to be back. And the fact that we're seeing that as a positive is in and of itself a little bit alarming because of Eric Murray's track record with tight ends, not to mention, you know, the number two tight end in the league. So
the number two tight end in the league, huh? Yeah, I like how you dropped that. Yeah, I like how you dropped that. You know, you look at what this game is going to mean for Patrick Mahomes, and you look at what this game is going to mean for Tom Brady. And I do agree that this game is more meaningful in some ways for the Patriots than it is for the Chiefs. And I do agree that there could be a sense of wanting to get revenge for what the Chiefs did to them last year. I just don't see the Patriots defense being able to be that type of team. I don't care how good Belichick is at scheming. I think Patrick Mahomes has seen enough to where Belichick's not going to be able to fool him that many times. He may get him once or twice. Patrick could throw another interception, maybe two this game. Don't expect it, but it's possible. But
and on the other side, I mean, you have such question marks for New England as well. I mean, yes, it's Tom Brady, and yes, he's good at making receivers you've never heard of look like superstars. But
Chris Hogan,
they have a lot of question marks. Yeah, right. Where is Chris Hogan, by the way? Thanks for my fantasy team, buddy. I appreciate that. But, you know, Julian Edelman's back. Edelman's the guy that always makes me nervous because he's just a gritty little squirrel. But
Well, yeah, but they have Kendall Fuller for that right now.
Right now. But then you have Philip Dorsett, who can run free. You have Cordell Patterson, who if he could, you know, catch, he has an ability to run down the field as well, you know. So then you have this whole Josh Gordon thing. I mean, they have the options, but they have such inconsistency at the position between Edelman back from suspension. Dorsett's been up and down. You know, Patterson has had a long history of struggles actually catching the ball. And then Gordon, we all know what his off the field issues are. He did get on the board here recently, but you know what? Second game back, third game back. I don't know.
Yeah, lots of question marks on offense, and it's possible they all get it together against Kansas City. The thing that is going to be a key is if Kansas City is able to get pressure on Tom Brady. And I will say this, and this is going to sound funny, but as much as we bash Bob Sutton, Sutton has done pretty well against Tom Brady in the past.
Yeah, I acknowledge that. He has a good scheme against this particular offense, and more importantly, against Josh McDaniels.
Yep. So, you know, to me, that could be a key that goes into this that we just don't see. The question to me, and something that could tell a lot about this game, is can Kansas City get out to a quick lead again? Can they play like they've played, you know, four of their five games and get out to a quick lead? If they can get out to a two-score lead, I'm not going to say the game's over because obviously they've struggled in the second half at times scoring, but it makes the game a lot easier for them.
Yeah, well, I'll give you that.
And the defense, I think this the game defense has the ability to struggle and still be successful. They don't have to be perfect.
And I think the one thing that this defense is still vulnerable to right now, although I give Anthony Hitchens credit for playing better last week. And I, between you and I still feel like Reggie Ragland's hurt. I don't feel he's 100%. I know he's thinking too much. But between Sony Michel, who we talked about earlier in the week with Mark, and James White, who is probably the best pass-catching back in the league at this moment, the two of them are what probably is going to stand out to me as a way to attack this defense. And it's just about not letting them get loose. You know, you can give them receptions, but you can't have them have that kind of yak where they either run people over into the end zone or they just get free enough to get all the way there.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, you look at, to me, this reminds me a lot of kind of like the Chargers game, honestly, in week one. You know, everybody said that the Chiefs defense looked horrible, and they did, and they let up a lot of yards, and I agree with that. But to me, it looked more like they were giving the running backs the catches out of the backfield on purpose. Now, granted, there were some plays where they obviously weren't just letting them run free. But my point is that I do think that that is kind of the way the defense is schemed to get up early and then let them have those underneath things so they can have the entire team rallying to the ball, knowing that it's going to take a team, you know, 8-9 plays to get down the field, and that's going to take up a lot of time, and that's going to run the clock out.
Yeah.
Although the problem is your offense has to be successful enough to not go 3-and-out because you can't get your defense back on the field so quickly.
Right. Between the confusion and the fatigue, this defense cannot be out there over and over and over.
Especially with the injuries. I mean, they're going to be shorthanded to begin with. So lots of question marks there.
Yeah. And that's really where it comes down to that scheme. And can you try to make them one-dimensional? I mean, they're never going to run the ball a ton anyway. But if you can make them not be able to afford to attack with the running backs, if you make them where they have to go down the field more, that only helps your cause. And I think it plays into what Bob wants to do.
Especially considering how bad Tom Brady's been throwing down the field. Yeah. As you said.
All right. Well, let's see if they can make him do it. Yep. Should we get to it?
Yep, let's get to it. What do you got?
I haven't looked at the weather report yet, but it's always cold in Boston, at least in people's hearts. So
Spoken like a true Coloradan.
Yeah, right? Which, by the way, folks, as we're recording this, I have 6 inches of snow on the ground. I just can't get away from the fact that you've won regular season games, and I do make the stipulation between regular season and playoffs, in this stadium against this team and this coach with Alex Smith. And the ability to go downfield is such a boon for what they can do at this point. And Whether it feels like Vermeil or not, it really doesn't matter. I still see the Chiefs coming out. And I'm going to give them a few more points that I gave them last week because they clearly didn't listen to me very well. And I'm going to go 34-31.
Honestly?
Chiefs.
Yeah. No, I figure that's the direction you're going. Honestly, I look at it and I say this is going to be a shootout. The question to me is it going to actually be a shootout and be a close scoring game, or is it going to be Kansas City jumps out early and gets ahead and stays ahead until late in the game where it looks like it's a closer score? Cause that's happened a couple of times as well. I think Kansas City could score another 40 points on this team. Just because I think Andy Reid is going to be looking to make a statement. I mean, you saw what they did to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's the best defense in the league. This defense can't touch Jacksonville. So
I happen to agree with you. Yeah, I mean, that's
to me. I think they're going to put up 30. I think at least 35. I wouldn't be surprised if they go over 40 again, just because of the weapons they have. And you know, we still haven't seen a big game from Sammy Watkins. I still think that's going to happen very soon. I think he's starting to show that he has a great place in this offense. He may not be the number one receiver, but you know what? That's okay.
Well, and I'll give you a little hint. If they march out Eric Rowe against him, I think he's primed to go off this game.
Yeah. I could definitely see it.
Well, that's it for us, folks. Let us know what you think. If you got a prediction or whatever, hit us on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Make sure you check out Chiefs Digest for all of our predictions and everything that Chris puts together every week. Is it Saturday or Sunday that's going up?
Usually it'll go up on Saturday.
So have a look at that. Get some feedback. We get a bunch of great people from all around the NFL. So I think even Mike Renner's going to put in one this week because, you know, we like to see if Mike's going to be anywhere close.
Yeah, he is going to have one in there, but he's not doing well so far this season.
No. That rose got to his head. So check that out. Make sure you hit the Twitter account. And if you would, I'll have my my pregame game plan video up on Friday night. Give that a check. And we appreciate your time and listening. We'll be giving you as quickly as we can post game after the football game on Sunday night. So listen for that and have a great weekend. We will talk to you then. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.